The first lesson is recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, beginning at the first verse. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy with crown will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in the book of James, chapter 5, beginning at the 7th verse. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, God. I greet you once more this morning in the revealing name of Jesus Christ. As you know, we are in the third week of Advent as we wait for the coming of Jesus. That's what Advent's all about. Waiting, preparing, watching, listening. Kind of what we do when we get closer to Christmas time, right? I mean, we see the lights of Christmas begin to go up. We hear the music, Christmas music being played. We think about all the people that are going to come to our house, or maybe we're going to their house. And we think about the food that's going to be necessary for either of those scenarios. We think about having to buy presents and for whom. We start to get ready and get really busy at this time of the year, don't we? Now, we don't look forward to the hectic time that we know that we're going to have usually at this time of the year, times of preparation. But we do look forward to those times when we can settle down, when we can, you know, maybe sit down with family and friends around the Christmas dinner table, or maybe when presents are being exchanged. And we especially delight in the joy of seeing the children's faces light up when they receive their presents and they're opening their presents. Now, some people at this time of the year are distressed because it's a, you know, there's so much that needs to be done. Some of you may be in that mode right now. Some people, of course, don't have family and friends that are nearby, and they're kind of depressed because they think they're missing out. Still others overlook all the stress of the season and just focus on the joy of this time of Advent. Because I really think that Advent coming is a real blessing. It really is. I'm so glad that over the many, 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 many years, that the Christmas that we know and all of its glitz and all of its trappings are associated with the birth of Jesus. Now, you may think that that's kind of odd for me to say, since we routinely lament about how Christmas has become more and more commercialized these days. We shake our heads at that the true meaning of Christmas, the birth of Christ, has been overshadowed and lost in the sea of activity that we have, in the purchase of presents and the coming of Santa. But I started to think the other day, what if the birth of Jesus was not associated with this worldwide spectacular that is Christmas that we know? Would as many people honor the birth of Christ if it wasn't associated? Because you have to admit that even if some people only, you know, come out for the joy of the glitz, many other people also experience, some maybe even for the first time, the story of the coming of Jesus. I mean, you'd have to be totally oblivious. You'd have to be, kind of a dyed-in-the-wool atheist not to know that the underlying celebration for all of this is the birth of Jesus. Especially for the children. You know, children that may not grow up and go to a Christian school or may not be able to come to church every Sunday, they can begin to understand that this celebration that sometimes we lament about started all because of the birth of a baby 2,000 years ago. And even if they don't go to, you know, the Christian schools and so forth, they can hear songs about Jesus on the radio and on the television and maybe even other places, maybe some of the caroling that they heard. You know, there are nativity scenes that they pass by maybe every day. Maybe they see it in somebody's yard. Maybe they see it, you know, somewhere else. And there are at least some shows on TV that they would watch that at least mention Jesus and his birth. It would be hard for them to not see the reference to Jesus at this time of the year. And always that is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts, to work in their minds, to at least make them curious about Jesus. So maybe they'll follow up on that and find out, who is this Jesus? And the fact that it's coupled with Christmas, which is a great, joyous time of the year usually, makes the likelihood of them linking it to Jesus forever very high. Don't you agree? It's a joyous time that we anticipate every year. Yes, there are stresses at this time, but it seems to me generally people are happier around Christmas time. They have more of a smile on their face. I think Advent is a joyous time of waiting. I mean, today we lit the third candle on our Advent wreath. It's a candle that is pink in color, and pink is the traditional color of joy. Of joy, joy at the coming of Jesus, and all that we know that that means. Now, lessons today also speak of joy. Joy that we hear about the coming of Jesus. In our first lesson from Isaiah 35, we hear about his coming the first time as the much anticipated Messiah. But you know, those words that we read are just as much for us today as they were for Isaiah's time period. In our first lesson, if you read it, verse 1 and 2, even though the desert is dry, even though the desert is parched with the coming of the Messiah, the land shall be glad. Along with that, the wilderness may be desolate, but it says, it will burst into bloom, and it will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Right? Verses 3 and 4. Even if we are feeble, even if we are fearful, the coming of our God is going to make us stronger, make us unafraid. He's coming to save us. Verses 5 and 6, it says, then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Can you imagine, like I was telling the children, what a gift it would be as if you were blind and you were given sight? What a gift is that? Can you imagine if you were deaf and you were able to hear again, or a lame and you were able to leap like a deer, or unable to talk and then you could talk again? Wow. What joy there would be in your heart, right? That will happen one day at his second coming. That's what we anticipate. That's what we wait for. When Jesus comes to us and he takes all of his people home to be with him, to live in paradise. He came the first time to prepare us and all the rest of his people for that second coming. But in the meantime, we wait. We wait. And we should be waiting in anticipation of the joy that will be ours when He does come. It'll be enormously much greater joy than anything we can experience here on this earth during Christmas time. Each year we have the celebration of the coming of the Messiah, coming the first time, in order to keep fresh in our hearts the anticipation of Him coming the second time. But we do have to wait. And James, in our second lesson, talks about waiting and patience. He says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." And then he gives us examples of being patient in the midst of whatever sorrows and sufferings we may have right now. Like the prophets who foretold the coming of the Lord, but they still had to endure hardship while they served Him in whatever location and city they were. Or like Job, we all know about Job. Job, when everything was taken away from him, and he suffered beyond anything that we in this room will probably ever experience in our lives, he persevered without turning away from God, without cursing God, until God restored him. How easy it is for us to have doubts and fear when we're in the midst of trials, when we're in the midst of suffering. I mean, even from our lessons today, we see John the Baptist doubted that Jesus was the Messiah. Can you believe that? John the Baptist. John, who just a few days before this was pointing to Jesus as he was walking along, and he was telling everybody, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He didn't have problems identifying Jesus then, did he? Or then when he baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, and Jesus was coming up, and he heard the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And he saw the Holy Spirit as a dove come down and rest on Jesus. This is the same John the Baptist whom Jesus said about in our lesson today, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." And yet, we see that he doubted. He doubted. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one that's to come? Or should we expect another?" Now, Jesus could have perfectly said to his disciples, "Go and tell John, yes, I'm the one." But notice how Jesus said it. He said, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound like maybe we heard from Isaiah predicting what would happen when the Messiah comes? Yes, the Messiah was there. The Messiah did come. Jesus had come. He is the Messiah. And He will return to us again one day. But in the meantime, we wait. We wait. We wait with the joy of anticipation. I know it's hard for us to wait sometimes, isn't it? In this society today, we're not, you know, waiting is not something we do well. I mean, many of us consider, I'll speak for myself, I consider waiting to be unproductive time. You know, something that we have to suffer through. Because we know that waiting is a period of inactivity that we have to get through until we can be active again. Kind of like waiting in your car in a traffic jam. Or maybe waiting at the doctor's office for him to call you in. Or maybe waiting in line at Disney World. Right? But Advent is a time of the year, if we use it properly, We can be productive while we're waiting. Productive to determine what God wants us to focus on in our lives. What He wants us to do. You know, we can use it to remember. We can use it to review. We can use it to come closer to Jesus. That's why we have Advent services. That's why we have Advent devotions. That's why we have Advent symbols like this Advent wreath here. That's why I talk about it and other pastors talk about it during Advent time. It's to call our attention to the importance of waiting and the joy that comes from it. Advent is an opportunity for us to break the cycle of endless busyness that we find in our lives. You know, those endless routines that we find ourselves in where we're focused on so many things that are lesser important. Advent is a time for us to stop. Be still for a while. Put Jesus back in the center of our lives. And with that comes the joy of being in His presence. Right? When we stop and think about His life, when we think about His birth that we're going to celebrate at Christmas, when we think about, you know, His life and His death and then His resurrection, and when we think about that He did all of that for us so that we would have a way to be with Him in all eternity, we can remain spiritually awake, spiritually focused on what we should be focused on. We can grow in holiness. We can grow in our character, our spiritual character. We can grow in serenity. We can grow in joy. Now, we also have to understand that while we wait, others are waiting too, and God's working in their hearts. Maybe He's preparing them for us. Maybe He's preparing them for us when we want to tell them the Christmas story. Maybe He's preparing them to receive the Holy Spirit so that they too can believe in Jesus as their Savior and receive eternal life along with us. Maybe He wants to work in all of us during this Advent time. Matter of fact, there's no maybe about it. I know He does. Because God has a plan for each and every one of us. But we won't know what it is until we ask. Right? And when we ask, we need to be open to receiving the answer from Him. During this Advent time is a time to prepare for the answer. Greeting Him every day, spending time to read His Word, reviewing His life, listening to what He has to say to us. What did Jesus tell us? Whoever has ears, let him hear. And so we find joy at this time of waiting. Where's the joy? We find joy in knowing that Jesus has come already and He's conquered death so that we can have the way to eternal life. We have joy in God who promised to always be with us and never leave us, right? Who? What do we call Him? Emmanuel, God with us. We find joy in trusting when we doubt, along with John the Baptist. We find joy in greeting that the angels gave to the shepherds on that Christmas day, that Christmas evening. What did they say? Fear not. Fear not. We find joy in helping others, especially at this time of the year. Giving to others out of the abundance that God has given to us. We find joy in sharing the good news with the people around us, our neighbors, our workmates, our family. We find joy when we worship together, right? We find joy when we pray together. We find joy when we commune together. Even in suffering, we find joy because the source of our joy is God who is joyful. You remember when Nehemiah was consoling the Israelites back in in the Old Testament, when they were convicted because they had just read the Ten Commandments and other things for the first time, and they realized how sinful they were. Nehemiah told them, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." People, we even find joy in the shadow of the cross, because we know that the cross is only the death, the end of sin, the end of death, not the end of Jesus, and not the end of us. Even though this is Christmas time, we're Easter people. We're Easter people because we know that Easter means life. Can you see that Christianity is a religion of joy? Yes. It's truly glad tidings for humanity, isn't it? And so, as we continue to wait during this Advent season, I urge you, be joyful. Think about all the joy that Jesus came to bring us. Because our King is coming. Our King is coming. And matter of fact, our King is near. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. We thank and praise you, dear Jesus, for giving us so many things to be joyful about this Advent, and really all year round. Help us to focus on all the good things you came to give us rather than what we have to endure. Let this be a time of renewal, a time of refreshing, a time of relaxation for us. Help us to be quiet and know that you are God, so that we can move closer and closer to you. And so we say, come, Lord Jesus. We wait for you. Amen.